I used to cry after meetings saying, God, we had a big group tonight and you one by one offended every one of them. And, you know, what are you doing? You know, is this a way to grow a ministry? Lord says, it's what how I grew a ministry. It's how you're going to grow it. Okay. He says, I'm more concerned about you obeying me and pleasing me than jumping through hoops for people. So, okay, well, I'll pass this test only because I cannot stand to grieve you, even if they don't understand. So I have no problem moving into the authority I have in Christ. And that's what people would call spiritual authority. I have no problem. And I looked it up in this little translation. I looked it up in some other translations. And the bottom line, the way they call it in the Word of God is authority in Christ. Paul, and we'll look at this in a little bit. Paul speaks all the time, I came to you in Christ's authority. There's a real problem when human beings, especially in church leadership, think that they have spiritual authority. It's unbiblical, it's not in the Word, and it's taken the place of Christ. And I know I just stepped on a truckload of toes because this is one of the most fun teachings out there right now if you're in leadership. My spiritual authority. Do you know that you have no authority in the spirit realm except the Holy Spirit in you taking His authority or Christ's authority and using you to minister it? And I'll show you this. I'll prove this to you. And when you look at when they asked Jesus, what authority do you move in? Now He moved in what we would call spiritual authority, and He proved it by casting out devils. He proved it by laying hands on the sick. Okay? So if what we want to call spiritual authority, if we want to be biblical, if we want to say that's what Jesus walked in, even though He never calls it spiritual authority. He just calls it authority from the Father, okay? That authority is proven with supernatural miracles, casting out devils and signs and wonders. I personally can move in that authority, and I haven't surrendered enough yet to move into the level of that authority that I want to move into. But because I get a little certificate, or even if I go to 4 years of school or whatever I do, that does not give me one drop of what they would call spiritual authority. Every believer has authority in Christ to the place that Christ moves through you. Every believer can have the power of Christ to raise the dead, heal the sick. That's spiritual authority, as far as they want to call it. I don't like calling it that because the Bible doesn't, okay? I like to stick to the Bible because then you cannot take and twist what I'm saying. The authority in Christ, the supernatural authority to do warfare, the supernatural authority in the spirit realm is only done through the Holy Spirit working through me to reveal what Christ has already paid for. And people who throw the word spiritual authority around, God is going to bring a fire on them because they are taking natural government authority and spiritualizing it to control and manipulate people. Everybody's happy now. Let's put this on the radio. See how many church invitations I can get this week. See, I don't care about any of that. I want to prove, and I can prove the things I preach. I can prove it with I can prove it with many scriptures. And they will not prove me wrong. Because when God gives me 400 and some scriptures to study in 3 hours, and He supernaturally gives me the ability to do that, I know what I'm talking about when you touch this kind of issue. And God wants you all to mature and get out your strongs and maybe take more hours, but to begin to look up what it's really called and what God said. And I have so many different translations of the Bible that the Holy Spirit can tell me which one to go to, but I go to the Greek and Hebrew one also to see what was really said. And then God can give revelation on that. So I did not understand government. Now, I know the word's being tossed around a lot right now. And it's really funny because I stay out of all that. I don't even listen to what people preach on that kind of stuff. Because it's like, Lord, you know, you'll show me the truth when the time comes. And I don't want to get, you know, put into somebody else's thing. I just want to hear what you have to say. But God began to show me. So what it was is I've seen what I would call government, natural government given to overseers of ministries or churches, or whatever you want to call them, where people come together. And there's a natural authority, a natural authority, so that there's somebody in the nursery. Do you know what I mean? So that somebody vacuums the floor. So, and it's so cool around here because as we all mature in God and let the Lord truly be in charge, we need very little of that kind of government. But as the ministry grows and as the workplace grows, as we put out more tapes and everything, and people come in at a less mature level of walking in the Holy Spirit, you're going to need more government. And I didn't like that because I've seen it abused. I don't think I've ever seen, I think it's impossible to abuse true authority in Christ. Because if you have true authority in Christ, it's Him working through you and He's not going to abuse it. I can hear you labeling demonic authority and calling it God's authority. And I can hear, see people mislabeling natural authority and calling it spiritual authority. Do you see what I'm saying? But truthfully, there is no way to abuse authority in Christ because it's Him doing it through you. God's not going to abuse that. Do you kind of get that? You can abuse that God's given you a sphere of influence and you move in authority by manipulating and controlling people with it, and then you will eventually cross over to a demonic authority. Y'all look like you're having fun. Okay. And I'm just saying this so you can understand. You don't have to be afraid to surrender to the Holy Spirit and let Him lead you. He's always going to do that which needs to be done. So you don't have to be afraid to step out in faith as the Lord leads you and lay hands on the sick. You don't have to be afraid to step out in faith and cast out devils. You don't have to be afraid to allow the Holy Spirit working through you to do supernatural things. Okay, so what the Lord began to show me was my issue that I never even broke down enough before. Was, Cindy, you have seen natural authority or government in the organized church that tried to take my place. And they lorded it over the people. And they told people, you have to fast. Or it gets so bad, we have people in this room who were told who they had to marry. And they did it. And they went through 13 years of hell. And now they're getting free from that kind of abuse. And God's healing the marriage and making it, I think He's going to make it an awesome marriage. But you have people that no one likes to talk about who have really been hurt by people not understanding true authority. And the one way that I want you to understand it, when it comes to your spiritual life, okay, when it comes to the supernatural part of who you are in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is your spiritual authority. He is your teacher. It even says that no man needs to teach you. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't need a man teaching you, but God has poured out a fivefold ministry gift called the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, and the pastors. Now, when it's truly anointed spiritual authority or supernatural authority poured into those people for what? Building you up, edifying, and equipping you. Then guess what? It isn't a man teaching you. It is the Holy Spirit teaching you. And you have the Holy Spirit in you to come in agreement with that. Unless you go into to stupor, which means I'd rather be led by man than God. And there's a, and we have tapes on this, but there's actually a spirit of stupor that comes on people who embrace covering doctrine or looking to man where it should be God. Okay, do you get that? And so you got people who actually have a spirit of stupor, and if you stop and look at their lives, they are not maturing in the things of God. They are years and years and years in the body of Christ, and they're not anointed. They're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in their life. They're not moving into the supernatural place that should happen quickly. Jesus was sending those guys out quickly as he was mentoring them. And they were moving in the supernatural. And some people have a lot of, and God's just now really release an understanding of deliverance and inner healing. So some people need a lot of inner healing and deliverance to get free enough to begin to grow in their spiritual walk so that they can quickly begin to move into the things of God. So in this situation, what God began to show me, I had no idea how this was all connected with Karen's situation. But what was happening in me is I had to tell Karen how I felt about the policy being broken. And it should have been no big deal. When I used to be a boss at a radio station, I was a sales manager. I had people who worked for me. I had no problem. I had no problem telling people what to do. I had no problem getting the job done, none at all. I have no problem personally in the area of disciplining my children. I have no problem knowing I'm the boss and God's gotten rid of the buttons and you will do what mom says and I don't have to control or manipulate or anything else. I will be led by the Spirit of God to break rebellion out of their hearts. I have no problem. I have no problem submitting to my husband. I mean, I've been through some trials and things to be able to be free in these areas, but that's not an issue. I really have no problem at all submitting in a church. As far as if they say do this or don't, I understood the distinction. And so I've never been out of order in a church or a ministry meeting. Doesn't mean that they weren't doing something incorrectly. It just meant I've learned how to submit as unto the Lord. So I couldn't understand why I would have so much trouble just sitting and talking to somebody as nice as Karen about I didn't want something handled this way. And that was a spiritual issue, because what had happened, the Lord was showing me as I was looking at this, I had actually rebelled against God without meaning to, when I've seen such perversion in the church. When I've seen people tell me that I had to fast for 40 days, and before I even walked into the service, the Holy Spirit told me, I didn't even know they were going to do this. I'm walking in the service, the Holy Spirit tells me, you're not fasting. I'm like, okay, I won't fast. Well, we're going to fast. You usually tell me when to fast. This first time you told me when not to fast. But when I got into the service, the person used their natural authority or government to say, God has told me everyone in this place is fasting for 40 days. And if you don't, you will be disobedient and you will there will be no unity in this church, and basically it'll be your fault if we don't have revival. And it got to such a point at this one particular time, and let me say, I love the pastor. He's a wonderful man. I know he loves God. I'm not against the person, but this spirit that was operating, I don't believe was the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says, let no one know when you're fasting and praying. That's based on Jesus saying Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The foundation of the house that's being built in me is based on what Christ says first. What Christ says first is how I have chosen and am being led by the Spirit to build my house. And if Jesus Christ himself says, let no man know when you're fasting, how can the Holy Spirit tell someone to tell people to fast? I know I just go against everything that a bunch of stuff going on in the prophetic, but I'm sorry. I've got to go by what Jesus says, don't I? Now I can understand someone in a position of authority, both natural and also having a spirit of influence, and also who moves in the gifts of the Spirit, saying, there's some real big issues facing me, and would you seek the Holy Spirit about praying and fasting for it? I have no problem with that. Why? Because they're just telling me that they have a need, or that the church has a need. And would I go to God and see if I was to participate in a fast? Do you see what I'm saying? And why can't we do that? There's no pushing false spiritual authority on anyone. There's no condemnation. The rest of the church isn't staring at you like they're going to kill you. And let me tell you how real this was this time, because this was spiritual abuse. And it would never have been in the heart of the pastor. He had no idea. He had just bought into wrong doctrine. I'm just being honest. And he said to me, if you find a scripture that says the opposite of what I'm saying, I would love for you to show it to me. And he was saying, and I'm talking Old Testament, call a solemn assembly, because Old Testament is a foreshadow of what's revealed in Christ to the New Testament believer. Before Christ, the priest had to call the fast. Before Christ, the priest had to call the solemn assembly. Why? Because we did not have our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So when you make doctrine based on a foreshadow, you are doing away with Christ. So you will find it all over Old Testament, okay? Why? Because Christ hadn't come yet. The average person could not say, God, should we fast now? They did not have that relationship with God. The New Testament believer has that relationship with God, unless they purposely laid it down and gave it to man. Okay, so I'm not saying that solemn assemblies and fasting, corporate fastings, are not in Old Testament. I would like to see one in New Testament. One. Just show me one. And you won't find it, because I already looked before I'd say that. I see people praying together because they were praying for Peter to get out of jail. We pray together here. I see nothing wrong with people praying, being led by the Spirit corporately. I see nothing wrong with worshiping together corporately. It's very biblical. I see nothing wrong with people fasting before you come to one of our meetings or during one of our meetings between you and God for the meeting. The difference is, I don't think man biblically has a right to take the place of the Holy Spirit. So they want to stone me for that. It's very biblical. It's why we have a bunch of infants in the body of Christ instead of mature believers after 20 or 30 years sitting in the pew doing the same things you've ever done. That's why the church is totally anemic. And I'd rather have a few people who hear God and walk with, not I. I'm thankful that God would bring me people who are hungry to have a relationship with God. And if it's 10 people, Jesus probably had 12 people, because there's probably only 12 who would listen to him. And then one of them ended up going to hell anyway. Think about that. Perfect ministry, and he still went to hell. Because you still have choices not to deal with your heart issues. So anyway, so in this one particular fast, and it's just an example, this stuff has happened for years, but in this particular one, now remember, the Lord told me specifically, do not fast, before I ever knew they were doing this. And I walk in, I mean, you had heard hints about it, and I had a very sick child at the time. My son was in critical condition, critical condition. And this is what was said from the pulpit. If you are praying for a child, and maybe you've been in a long trial with your child, which this church particularly knew that I had been, then this is the answer for you. This is how you're going to get your breakthrough. You talk about confusion. Here I am, a mom who loves my kid, and my kid's in critical condition, and he's been sick for a couple of years. And God has kept him alive as I've been obeying God. And now I get, from a sphere of influence, who's proclaiming that he's hearing from God for me, that if I would fast, God would heal my kid. And yet, as I walked in the door, God said, don't fast. Don't tell me I wasn't in a trial. Because I don't care. If it's as easy as not eating and my kid being healed, then praise God, take the food. I'm serious. After 8 years of walking through something to prophetically learn why the church is anemic and getting purged and going through this stuff and being put in a desperate place, just 40 days of not eating would have been a piece of cake. So what are you going to do? Here's somebody who's saying they're hearing God for me. They know my situation, and they're using my situation to try to manipulate and control me, even though that's not what they're intentions are. And here I have God telling me, don't do it. And then it goes this far, which it never had before. I think I was really making a point in this particular service. They had you stand up if you were fasting so that everybody could see who was sitting that wouldn't participate.